둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
How you doing?
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here, for checking out the series. Hit that subscribe button so you can get new interviews sent to you just like this one every single week. You can find us Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, anywhere you get your podcasts from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And please do take a moment to give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. We've had some great guests on lately, including Denise Richards, who is just here, Adrian Ballou and Daniel Ash, Simple Minds, David Hornsby and Charlotte Nickdow from Mythic Quest on Apple TV+, Jason Isbell, Taj Mahal, Foo Fighters, Naughty Natasha, Creedence Clearwater Revival, Peyton List from School Spirits and Cobra Kai, Josh Homme of Queens of the Stone Age, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, my friend, Hamilton Lighthouser, the unmistakable voice that gave the Walkman their raw, boozy elegance, has since carved out a solo career steeped in timeless songwriting with a voice that sounds like it's lived 100 lives and a knack for crafting melodies that feel both grand and intimate. He's kept that spirit of classic rock crooners alive while making it all sound fresh and remains one of indie rock's most captivating frontmen. He is back with a brand new disc called This Side of the Island. It's an album that took a decade to perfect, and you can hear it in the grooves, too, leaning into a funkier, more danceable sound, thanks in part to his Chapel Roan and Charlie XCX-loving kids. The former Walkman frontman crafted a record with air-drumming-worthy beats and some sharp lyrical musings about life, love, and yes, kids these days. We got to talk about why he sat on some of these songs for years, how his wife, along with producer Aaron Desner, helped push the album over the finish line, and what he learned from belting it out on the Carlisle stage. Also, the Walkman reunion. Fun while it lasted, but maybe don't hold your breath for an album. It's all in here and more as we talk about This Side of the Island. It's Kyle Meredith with Hamilton Lighthouser.
What's up, man? How you doing?
It's been a little bit.
Well, it's been a while for me to put out a record, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, that's what I've noticed.
Yeah, I'm in my house in DC, actually. This is the house I grew up in.
Taking it all the way back.
Yeah.
Like you have one of those, like most parents, they sold the house, they moved, you know, you still got the thing though. That's the
Still, yeah, still here. This is where it all started.
Yeah, that must be nice to have.
Yeah, it is.
I every now and then I'll get a an alert on one of those house shopping websites, Zillow or whatever it is, about my childhood home, and I'll check out the pictures, like
Oh, really?
what it looks like now. That's the closest I get.
Where did you grow up, in Louisville?
Now, in Kentucky, it's about an hour and a half southwest, little town between two lakes called Litchfield. So it's what I call a bait and tackle town. You know, we had the vending machines where on one side would be the sodas and the other side would be worms and crickets.
Great. Yeah. I have a lot of family from Danville.
I know Danville. I've been to Danville.
My mom went to Center College there.
That's what it's known for.
Yep.
That's what's in Danville. I think that's the only thing there.
Well, there's also the Stith Funeral Home, which is my family business out there.
And you've always got one of those too. That's
Yeah.
the
Yeah.
Well, that's it. So this is the first album, I think. What is it? In like 5 years it's been released. But I also hear you talk about this album and you're like, yeah, but I've been working on this album for 8 years.
I
Which
do. Actually, you know what I realized? It's actually 10 years.
so how does that work? I mean, you're overlapping albums at that point, right?
Well, I always, I mean, I work on music all the time, and so I released, for instance, my record. Like, I always have stuff on the back burner, and I released "Loves Your Life" when I in 2020 when I thought I had a full rack of songs that made sense, and I was happy with it, and I still am. But I had a bunch of these that I would have was working on for that record that I couldn't finish for one reason or another, and stuff I just couldn't let go. I was just like married to it, which is, sometimes a bad idea, but I've kind of just fought through and made a few of them happen in the end, and I'm really happy with them now. The first three songs on this record were all in the works for the last record.
Okay, so that's what I was wondering is like when you're working on album or songs, like do you hear them like, oh, those group of songs might go together for this project versus this group might go over
Yeah,
here?
definitely. Yeah, I mean, I always have stuff lying around that I don't, it's not like lesser, but it just doesn't work at the time, so I don't use it. Yeah, I mean, I'm always just making stuff.
Because there is something about this, like there's a danceability to this album that I don't think has existed exactly like this in your songwriting
Oh,
before.
good, thanks. That's what I wanted, actually. I credit my daughters with that, actually, because they make me listen to pop music exclusively when we're in the car. I mean, if it's not their music, then they just wear me down with the complaints. So we hear, it used to be Taylor Swift. Now it's like Charli XCX and Chappell Roan. And I honestly, in the last whatever 5 years, I think that having so much of that just pumped into my brain, I was kind of like, maybe it'd be fun to make some songs that they would even in their wildest dreams consider listening to,
It's funny how that, I mean, that's normal. That's a story. You know,
Yeah.
if you're a musician and you've got a parent, sorry, if you're a musician who's got a kid or kids, like I hear that story a lot. I got a son and he didn't go the pop route growing up. I didn't force anything on him other than like he got into like Huey Lewis,
Oh,
you know,
really?
and the 80s stuff. And
Good for him.
yeah. And then, you know, once he turned into a teenager, like he'd take a shower and put on music, but it'd be like 90s alternative. Like that wasn't me again. That was all him.
Wow.
So it's now that he's finding his way
Mature,
into
very
that.
mature. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's finding his way into pop now. I think that he's in high school. But yeah, I still get the Taylor thing from my wife. I mean, she's
Of
a huge
course.
fan of
Everyone,
that. Yeah.
Taylor's everywhere. Yeah.
She's everywhere. But there is, so even though you can, you know, so there might be you listening to pop, but that organic thing is still there. Like the drums sound so good on this.
Oh, thank you. I'm really proud of my drum tone. That was one thing I felt like I played them and I recorded them, and I feel like I'm so glad you said that. That's like the
Like
ultimate
I want to
compliment.
air drum to this album. I mean that. Like
Oh,
I've heard it like
thanks.
twice, and every time I'm already like, you know.
Awesome.
But that's the thing, right? So I was trying to think though last time we talked, because I think last time we talked, we were talking about crooners. You know, it was a very crooning album that last time around.
Yep.
Like when you knew what this album, or even if you think about it that way, like once you sort of had a grasp on these songs, like if that was the crooner album in the past, like what is this album to you?
This is definitely like funkier and groovier. I think the first three songs are what set the tone for it. That's why they are the first three songs, and they're the first three that I wrote. And I just wanted to make something that was like, in a way, it has more space. There's more space in the bass playing and in the drums, actually, which I think makes it so you can hear everything better, and every element's kind of in its own spot. And I feel like I built a lot of grooves that I hadn't ever really considered before. It's just not something I ever. It's not the kind of music I used to make. And I was really happy with the. I felt like that was a new direction.
So, and you teamed up with, of course, you got co-producers, your wife and Aaron Dessner.
Yep.
How does that work?
Well, my wife is forced to do it because I come upstairs and out of my studio, and then I force her to listen to it, and it just drives her crazy. And then after a long time, she was kind of like, I don't even know. Any-. I try to keep it away from her as much as possible so that she'll have like fresh ears when I finally feel like I've gotten it to the end of the line.
Mm-hmm.
But then eventually you just drag her into it, and then she's in the muck with you too. You see how the sausage gets made, and it's like, you know.
Have you ever credited her before?
Actually, no. This is the first time she's really been involved, to be honest. So, I mean, she's always been around, but I haven't really ever like run it by her like I did this time. And Aaron just helped me out at the very end by inviting me up to, I was just telling him that I was in this spot where I was like, I either have a lot of songs or I got nothing. And I just can't tell anymore because I've just been working by myself. And he invited me up to his studio to just like listen or play, or we didn't even have a plan. And we just listened through, and he was like, I think you're almost done. And I was just like, you know, hearing that from someone that you know and someone you respect is like, just great just to hear that, you know? And then he added a bunch of instruments that really like changed my perspective on the album. He made it sound much more modern, which he's really good at. And that right there, just, I mean, the songs were written, but the new sound really, to me, got me really excited again on it, and gave me just like a last burst of energy to like sort of remix a bunch of stuff and put all of his tracks into it. And then it was done. And I had that feeling like, man, I want people to hear this. And that's always like a really good sign. That's always like, okay, I think I'm done. I knew I was done at that point.
But man, everything that he's touching right now is just, you know,
yeah,
it's
no,
so
it's great.
Great.
No, he's good. That's why I was there. I knew he would be good, and he was. So certain people are good. You know, that's just like definitely like a skill I don't have. Like the come on somebody else's, help somebody else sort of like help like clarify their own vision of something, you know? It's just like, that's what like a good producer does.
And we'll be right back right after this.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
At Tanger Outlets, find all the best brands all on sale every day. Step into the season's newest arrivals and save big on the styles you love. Shop Under Armour, Michael Kors, Crocs, and more. With up to 70% off, plus an extra 25% off for a limited time. Hurry in for amazing deals from the brands you love. Only at Tanger Outlets.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Hamilton Lighthouser.
Well, let me ask about a few of these songs then. First single we got was Knockin' Hearts.
Yeah.
And I want to read what you wrote in the press release, because you say it's sung by an estranged, stoned lover on their way home who is dying to get a message through to someone who is probably not listening.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So when you write that, Are we talking more like fictional thing? Because, I'm sure I want to ask if there's a bit of you in that song, but when a description like that is there, like this feels like really good fiction.
It's a little, yeah, it's both. I mean, it's fiction, but it's, based on real life, just like anybody would write something. I mean, it's not like I'm not, I'm a happily married man, and but it's, I feel like you could, a love song, you can, anybody can pick up on or take it however they want. So you can say a love song could be about like, a person, or it could be about like a bottle of booze, or it could be about like a place you love. And so you can just assign how whatever you feel. That's just that description is very specific. I like to try to be as specific as possible with what I was thinking, but maybe if somebody didn't read that and they hear the song, they'll be thinking about something completely different.
I like when artists actually, I've got nothing against when they're like, I don't like talking about my songs. It's up to interpretation, all that. But I think I personally get something more out of it when I hear that.
I do too, with a very specific, and I like to be very specific now because I feel like I can, which has taken me a long time to get to the point where a clear vision of what I'm talking about, and I feel like in the last three records I've really gotten to the point where I can verbalize what I'm saying, and I feel like that's a, now that I play a lot of concerts where I play sort of smaller venues, but where it's kind of more fancy kind of place like the Carlisle, it takes you into a more intimate place where you really want to express what you're taught. You really want people to know what you're saying before you sing it, so that it's more of like a connection. Like I used to just get up on stage and I didn't even say hi to the audience, we just blast everybody's head off, which honestly is really fun too, and I have nothing against that. I did that for so many years. I at one point I thought, I like it better when people, when I can really explain what I'm doing and I can be clear about what I'm talking about and then what I'm singing about, and then I sing it and I can see the recognition in people's faces when I sing certain lines, and they say, oh, that's what he's talking about, it's not nonsense. I spent a lot of time writing these words, so it's like I just want people to know it's not nonsense.
That's really close to one of my favorite Michael Stipe lines.
What's that?
Well, he would talk about, in the 80s, how everything was very, very abstract in the lyrics. And, and of course they would famously mix his vocals down. And he said, one day I realized, hey, people are listening. I might want to make these counts. It's sort of that, it feels like it's sort of in that same line. But even to that point, like even live, it's interesting how it becomes a point of conversation in the audience. When you leave and someone says, he didn't talk to the audience once, and I don't know if that's like you're going on tour with Tillman. I love Josh and everything, but he's sort of famous for that as well. He gets up, I just saw him the other night on stage, does the songs, they're fantastic, maybe says thanks once.
Oh,
It's
really? Oh, that's funny. I haven't seen him in a while.
yeah.
Well, I'll do the talking on that tour, I'll tell you that much. I can't shut up.
Do you hear that now? Not saying you do or don't, but if you listen back on the Walkman stuff, we're talking. I'm talking about the lyrics and the and being specific. Like, is it obvious if you're being a bit vague and coy? Like, do you hear back what you meant to be talking about?
Yeah, but sometimes I was going for the, I mean, there's something I like to try when I was younger. A lot of the times I wanted to try to write just like a universal love song, or like a universal, like something that I intentionally wanted. Sometimes I tried to write lyrics that you'd intentionally wouldn't pay attention to, and it was more just about the way that I would just like yell it or snarl it or whatever. And it was, sometimes, I mean, there is a place for writing almost cliche, putting like tucking almost cliched phrases in so that you don't, it doesn't like distract from the attitude you're trying to put into it. And that only works because you're singing. I'm not like writing like a poem, or I'm not writing a story, because then I can just put all my energy into the way that I'm presenting it. And so I have nothing against that. It's not, it's just, that's not what I do right now.
Yeah, because a lot of times feeling can make up for even bad lyrics if you know.
Yeah, totally. I totally can, and you can, and I mean, how many songs in the world say like, since my baby left me? Like, I mean, but some people do that really well.
Yeah, that's true. There is a lyric on here. What do I think? I got a feeling people are going to be asking about it too because it's the kids today, they got everything wrong.
Yeah,
Please enlighten.
I mean, it's what do I? That's my favorite song on the record, actually, because that's sort of a simple lyric that you wouldn't, maybe sort of sounds a little bit throwaway the first time you hear it, but if you pay attention to it, which I hope some people will, I say, what do I think? What do I know? What do I love? And it's kind of like a serious question about, where have you ended up in your life, and the life that you've built for yourself, like what do you, are you happy with it? Are you happy with the way things are going? Or, what do you actually like about what you're doing? When you're writing music and then you finish a song and then you're like, well, I spent all this time on it. Do I actually like it? Like, I don't think I ever want to hear it again in my life. It's kind of like a funny question to ask yourself when you're like my age. Yeah, the kids, they got everything wrong. I thought that was, you can say, every generation is going to say that about the younger generation, right? I thought that was a great time to say it and then not explain it and just say, that's another story for another song. Maybe I'll write that song someday.
It definitely stands out. That's what I was thinking about that. Like, at what point did you realize that you had officially aged into saying things like that unironically?
I don't know. I don't know. I just saw the line just came to me and I thought I got a kick out of it.
Happy Light's another great one.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'd just go through the. That's what I would do. I just look at the track list, like, that's a great song. That's a great song. That's a great.
Awesome. Well, I like the sound of that.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Hamilton Lighthouser.
So you are taking it back out. You mentioned the Carlisle again, seventh time, did I read?
Seventh time, yeah, in 8 years because COVID knocked us back a year.
Yeah. Any
So yeah,
what do you got planned?
we're doing a whole month this year.
Had you not done that before? Is this the longest?
The longest I've done was last year because we extended it because it was
Okay.
going really well, and it was 3 weeks. Before that, it had been 2 weeks, but this is gonna be four. It's a lot. It's a very tiring show.
So tell us about it a little bit because this isn't like your normal, like what we might see you on the road, right?
No, I mean, actually, recently I've been sort of doing shows that we were trying to find venues that were as similar as possible for. I just went to LA and London, and now I'm going to Toronto on Monday and then Chicago. And we were trying to find venues, and I gotta give credit to my agent and my manager for finding good spots that were where I could sort of present the same type of show and sort of allude to it and sort of just try to be able to, sit there and tell everybody, have a time where, like a s small enough, but I mean, still like a nice room, but small enough where I can really like talk to everybody and feel like we're all sort of connected for a little while there.
There's a space here in town. It's the Silbach Hotel, which is famously Gatsby wrote about the city. That's where a bit of it was written and everything. But it's got a place downstairs. It's very in that Carlisle
Oh,
part
really?
of
I
it.
didn't know that.
They don't do a lot of shows there. It's you can walk into it anytime. I mean, it's just part of the hotel, but they don't do a lot. They used to do like jazz nights there. But you just saying that kind of brought that up. Like, there is something kind of magical about those rooms and what they do and.
Yeah, I mean, if you can do it right, I feel like we've got a really good show. It's also we play like a rock and roll show. We're not playing like standards, and so it, I think it is kind of like a special thing. Like it really worked well in London. It really worked well in LA. And I'm apparently the place in Chicago is really awesome too. So, that's kind of my thing right now.
Yeah, I love that. So one of the things I think might have been a little surprising is, of course, in the middle of all this, it's not like you weren't doing anything. There was the Walkman. You did the Walkman reunion, and played plenty of shows with that. And then that was it. Was that the plan?
I mean, the plan, it was never going to be as long as I never knew it was going to go as long as it did, but it was, we all agreed. I mean, it was really fun for starters. And then secondly, it went really well and nobody really wanted to stop. Like people would start offering us other things and we'd think, well, yeah, that sounds fun. Let's do that. And so it went on a lot longer. I mean, I thought it was going to be like originally like five shows and that was it. But it was just fun. And it was just fun being with our friends. So we said, why not? We did get to a fun. I'm glad it ended when it ended. Like I was ready for it to end, and I was working on. I knew the whole time I was doing that I was. This was on the, in the forefront of my mind. So I knew that it was going to stop when I finished my record. But to be honest, I didn't. The record wasn't. My record wasn't finished, and it was just great being back with my guys. So.
You're with each other. You're all musicians. Do you not just sit around and noodle out songs, or do you make sure you don't?
We never really worked like that, so no. And also, when you're on the road, I've never been able to really write on the road. It's just so exhausting. But no, we always have sort of worked like kind of separately and individually. Even when we're collaborating, we're always like sort of send each other stuff remotely and only get together sort of towards the end of songs. So it's never like we just sort of like jammed around.
So there's really actually less of a chance of a Walkman record than than I think people expected from the sound of it.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen right now.
Not gonna have it. It's which is fine. It was just, again, it's one of those things, like when you're on this side of things, right? You're like, man, those guys are together. Is it gonna happen? Is it gonna happen? No,
Right.
okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just not gonna happen.
I like the way you say that. That sounds very definitive. That's
Yeah.
it was great seeing you all back together for
It was
everything
great.
that
I loved it. I
yeah
really enjoyed it. Yeah.
that you all do with each other. I'm not complaining about what has come out of this, because again, my first initial listen to this record was like, holy cow. I'm talking about this new one, this side of the island. It's just like, holy cow. That was my first reaction. Every other reaction after that was, this is shit, but the first reaction was great.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting. Thanks. I mean, I'm really proud of it. I really put everything I had into it.
Well, right on, man. Well, I can't wait to hear these tracks come out live, out on
Yeah.
the road. So,
Yeah, man.
congrats to this, and it's great to talk to you as always.
Thank you. It's great to talk to you too. Thanks for having me.
And my thanks to Hamilton Lighthouser. The latest album is called This Side of the Island. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can get all the new interviews that I put out every single week, just like this one. You can grab a Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions. Anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And please do give the series a rating and a review while you're hanging around as well. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. In fact, I do 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Ella Fitzgerald, the Brand New Heavies, Charlie Crockett, the B-52s, Blur, Bonnie Raitt, Counting Crows, Cage the Elephant, The Sounds, Sons, Chris Bell, La Luz, Ben Queller, Chuck Prophet, Joan Jett, Nine Inch Nails, Father John Misty, and my interview with 80s synth pop legend Howard Jones. That's what you get when you tune in weeknight starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Awesome. Okay, thanks, man. Good to talk to you.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.